last verse.
There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow street. There are heights of joy till I rest in peace with thee.
Back to the book of Genesis. I'm going to do a little review before we get to Genesis 19. Just want to remind you of some things we've already studied concerning Abram and Lot, things that are very relevant to the story we're going to look at tonight. Abraham, as we have seen, in our studies in Genesis, is a wonderful type of Christ at times. Back in chapter 12, look back there again. I thoroughly enjoyed that study of Abram as a type of Christ in chapter 12. Look back there. Genesis chapter 12, you'll remember this if you were here. Verse 1, the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And that's the type of Christ. Christ left his father's house to come to this earth. He came to this land. Verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And that's a glorious picture of Christ as well. Christ is the firstborn among many brethren, and all believers are blessed in Christ. Verses 4 and 5. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. He was obedient, and Lot went with him. In verse 5, it says, Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son. And on down it says, they came into the land of Canaan. That's a picture of Christ who came to this earth and fulfilled God's righteousness or was obedient to the Heavenly Father as the Lord demanded of us, demanded of him. And he went to the cross. And all his people went with him, or crucified with him. And then someday the Lord will take us, as Abram did Lot, all the way into the promised land. All his people shall forever be with him. Ever be with him. Now, Lot here is a picture of salvation from the very outset. From the very start, Lot was a man who was apprehended. Abram got him. Abram adopted him. Remember, Lot's dad died, and Abram took him in. Our father died. We all died in Adam, didn't we? But the Heavenly Father adopted us into his family and took us in. And from the very beginning, Lot is a picture of God's elect. Now, everything looked good to Lot at first. And, you know, our Lord is very tender and very sensitive toward young believers. Young believers, and I recall my own case, young believers do not have to go through a lot at first. Everything's pretty good, pretty rosy. Right? That's our tender, kind Heavenly Father. He will not put upon us more than we're able to bear, the Scripture said. But will with the temptation make a way that we're able. And at first, everything was going real good with Lot. He was following Abraham, Now, that's where he should have stayed the whole time. And you see there that Abram was a picture of it. God said that he would bless all those that blessed Abraham and bless everybody in and with Abraham. Didn't Lot hear that? He should have stuck with Abraham, shouldn't he? But all we like sheep go astray at times, don't we? Well, hard times hit. Famine hit. A little trial came along. And Lot got bent out of shape. First trial. And he did not endure it very well. Look at chapter 13, verse 8. Abram said unto Lot, let's not argue here. Now I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, we're brethren. You remember that? And Lot was offered a choice, and Lot made the wrong choice, as is the case with so many young believers, given certain choices to make. Had Lot remembered the Lord's mercies to him? Had he remembered the pit from which he had been digged? Had he remembered that he was just an orphan, a nobody, and Abram took him in? And the Lord's blessings upon him, and how salvation was really because he was with Abraham. His salvation was because he was with and in Abram, and in the Lord's will as long as he was with Abram. He should have forsaken his goods. He should have forsaken his friends and his family. He should have forsaken his job to stay with Abraham, shouldn't he? Stay where Abraham was. But he didn't. No, he got a sight of Sodom. Verse 10. Lot lifted up his eyes, the lust of the eyes, and beheld all the plain of Jordan as well watered, lust of the flesh everywhere, like the garden of the Lord. And Lot, verse 11, chose those plains. And it says down in verse 12, he pitched his tent toward Sodom. He set up residence in Sodom. And this is such a picture of some who have seen it so many times. For better job, for whatever educational purposes for the children, for whatever reasons, people leave where the gospel is and go to another place where there is no gospel. And they end up in a bad way. If the Lord's merciful, bring them back to where the gospel is. Then Lot should have stayed there. He should have stayed there with Abram, where the blessings of God were evident and obvious. But no, he saw greener pastures. So he pitched his tent or set up residence towards Sodom, and it says it was a wicked, wicked city. So Lot settled down in Sodom, away from Abraham, and he began to be comfortable. Now chapter 14, he began to be very comfortable there in Sodom. And you know, that can happen at times. David was evidently unmoved in his sin for about 9 months, wasn't he? Unmoved. And when David went down to where the Philistine lived among the Philistines, evidently, Ziklag, he wasn't bothered by it. Didn't bother him a bit. And he was comfortable for a while. But if he's the Lord's own, he's going to bring him back. And that's the case with Lot. Chapter 14, verse 12. Well, these men, these evil, wicked kings and so forth, had a battle, and they took Lot. You remember that story? Lot was captured, lost all his goods. He became captive, a wicked king, got in great trouble. And who came to his rescue? Verse 14, Abram. He heard that his brother was taken captive. He armed his servants. Verse 15, divided himself. Verse 16, brought back all the goods and brought back his brother Lot. I remember that well. I had a good time with that, thinking about our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that came and saved us who were taken captive by Satan at his will, though he uses means. He arms his servants with the word. That's what Paul said to young Timothy. Serving the Lord, must not strive, but be gentle and so forth, that he may deliver him who all his life has been taken captive by Satan at his will. And he arms his servants with the gospel. That's what he arms them with. In verse 15, that's Christ crucified, divided himself. Verse 16, Christ brings his people to himself. Verse 17, and Lot witnessed all this. King of Sodom went out to meet him. And you know the story there, Melchizedek. And Lot witnessed all this now, didn't he? Lot? Now think back now where he came from. He was an orphan. Abram took him in. Didn't have to. Lord called Abram, blessed Abram. And Abram took Lot along. What do you mean with Lot? Took him along, and all Lot was to Abraham was a grievance. Right? That's all Lot was to Abram the whole time he was with him. He grieved him. But he took him. And that's our Lord, isn't it? That's all we are, generally speaking, to the Lord, is a grievance to him, a grief to him. But he takes us. We're accepted in the beloved. Well, Lot was adopted in the family and taken along and blessed. And Abram provided for him and did everything for him. He was made rich with Abraham, wasn't he? It was because of Abraham that Lot got rich. That's a picture of Christ, isn't it? Who makes us rich. And then Lot got in trouble and went where he shouldn't have went. And Abram went and brought him back, got him out of trouble again and again and again. Well, he should have stayed. Now, after this time, after Abram rescued Lot, he should have stayed with Abram then, shouldn't he? You thought he'd learned his lesson tonight. Now, Lot, don't go wandering out there. You stay with me and everything will be all right. Because God said he's going to bless me. He's going to bless me. And bless all those with me. Where'd Lot go? Right back to Sodom. And that's a picture of us, isn't it? Like a dog, in a sense, like a dog returning to its vomit. We go right back and do over again what has caused us so much problem before. Sin. Well, much transpired during this time. Do you remember how that God came to Abram in chapter 15? He received the covenant. Abram received the covenant from God. Abram was given a name above every human name. Father of the faithful. Changed his name. Gave him a name which was above, from that to up to that point, above every other name. And all Lot did was grow older and lazy and sinful in Sodom. Well, that's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? Who received the covenant, given a name above every name. And the Lord came to Abraham and he said, it's time to destroy Sodom. He appeared to Abraham, and that's where we are now in chapter 19. So many gospel pictures all through this. The Lord appeared to Abraham, and you remember what Abraham did for Lot? He interceded for Lot. The Lord said he's going to destroy Sodom, and Abraham remembered Lot. Oh, that's a picture of salvation, isn't it? Our Lord interceding for sinners. Oh, boy. The Lord Jesus Christ, he ever lives to make intercession for all his people. And the Lord God of heaven is going to destroy this world. Read it over there in Revelation 16, 17, how the Lord sends fire and brimstone. But his own, his people, he saves. He saves them. He sends his Holy Spirit to save his people from their sins, to pluck them out, keep them from this untoward generation. Verse 1 now, chapter 19. Chapter 19, verse 1. There came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And what's he doing sitting in the gate? You ever think about that? I thought, paused and thought about that. Why is he sitting out there in the gate all alone? Maybe he's so full of regrets. You know, the Lord won't let us remain happy outside of his will, you know? And he sat in the gate. Maybe he was looking toward the mountains thinking, oh, I wish I was up there. I wish that I had listened. Now here I am down in this God-forsaken place, and I'm vexed with the conversation of these wicked people. You know he was thinking this because that's what Peter said. He was vexed. Vexed his righteous soul. You're sitting in the gate. Perhaps he was unhappy, and he was not a Sodomite. He was not. He was not like them. He was in the world. Perry was not of the world. Was it? Couldn't be. He was of God. And the whole city of Sodom lies in wickedness. But he separated himself from the wickedness of that society. Lot did not take part in their open ungodliness. Count on that. He did not. And he was sitting in the gate, and perhaps he was dreaming of a way out. A way out. Two angels came to Lot. Two angels. This is a beautiful picture. Every verse in this chapter, we could spend a sermon on. Two angels came to Lot. The scripture says he shall give his angels charge over them. Psalm 23 says, surely, here's the name of two angels, surely goodness and mercy shall follow thee. Followed old Lot right in Sodom. Goodness and mercy. Here's another two angels he sent. Mercy and truth met together. They got together and said, let's save Lot. Here's two more. Righteousness and peace kissed each other. Shook hands and said, let's save Lot. Two angels. He gives his angels charge over thee. Verse 1, and Lot sat in the gate, and seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed down himself to the ground with his face toward the ground. Verse 2, and he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, turn in your servants. I'm so lonely, I need some fellowship. Tarry all night, wash your feet. You shall rise up early and go on your way. They said, no, we're leaving. We will abide in the street all night. Verse 3, but he pressed upon them greatly. That's a significant word. He pressed. No, leave me. He pressed. See, our Lord said, the gospel is preached and men press into the king. It was a pressing matter to Lot. And Christ said, when the gospel is preached, men press into the king. When they press. Well, verses 4 through 7, we read that, the wickedness of the men of this city. Before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people, men and women, from every quarter. And they called to Lot and said, where are the men? Bring them out. We want to know them. That doesn't mean they want to meet them. Tell us their names. It's the same word as when Adam physically knew his wife Eve. Homosexuality. And Lot went out of the door unto them and shut the door behind him and said, don't do so wickedly. Oh, it vexed his soul. Oh. He called them brethren. You notice that? Brethren. I'm not sure what to think about that. Unless it's his compassion for his fellow man, or else he was in such a bad state to call the likes of these brethren. He shouldn't have been there in the first place. Well, you know, homosexuality, and I don't need to dwell here at all. But Romans 1 deals with it, and it says that it's clearly a sign of God giving men and women over, giving them up, reprobate. It's clearly a sign, isn't it? Without a doubt, scriptures say that. And any society that condones it, as ours is beginning to, will suffer the wrath and judgment of God. And ours is beginning to. This nation is running on borrowed time for these very reasons. God's going to wipe this mess out. He's calling His elect out from the four corners of the earth. I think He's pretty much done with this one, this part. That's my own personal feeling, because of the way we're conducting it. He's calling a few out, thank God. Well, verse 9, Lot called sin, at least he knew this, but he called sin, sin. He went out and said, "Now this is wrong. This is wrong." Verse 9, and they grew angry with him and accused him. "Judge not." That's exactly what they said, didn't it? "Judge not." Now, we're all God's children. God made us this way. It's exactly what they said, didn't they? In so many words, so to speak. "Who do you think you are?" Verse 10. But the men put forth their hand, and they would have grabbed Lot and done evil to him. Verse 10. But the men, or the angels, put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. The Lord, time and again, restrains us from the hand of evil. You know, we don't see it. We don't see His hand all the time, but count on it. The Lord, time and time, every time we're riding down the street in our automobiles, He's restraining. It's God's restraining us, restraining things from us. Believers are immortal here until God is through with them. That's the reason we need not worry so much. My wife was talking about something this afternoon, about worrying about something. I said, I just don't want to worry about it. I just don't want to worry about it. If we want to worry, we'd just make ourselves miserable. Let's just not worry about it. The Lord restrains evil from us. He keeps us. He keeps us. Verse 11. He not only keeps evil from us, He keeps us from evil. He has to restrain us from getting right in there with Him. Right? Verse 11. They smote the men. The angels smote the men who were at the door with blindness, both small and great, or young and old, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. The Scripture says, in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 5, why will you be stricken? Why will you be stricken? God said, you'll revolt more and more. He said, the whole head is sick and the heart is faint. That applies here, doesn't it? And this evil and wicked world that we live in is smitten and afflicted by God on every hand, with every pestilence and disease imaginable, but they go on and weary themselves to find the door of sin more. I talked about, briefly mentioned this homosexuality thing. You know, they attribute the widespread outbreak of it to these bathhouses out in San Francisco and places like that. You know, you've heard of those things. Well, then AIDS went rampant, started going rampant. Well, after this thing has just gone on for a while, you know, they shut those things down for a while. It scared them all. They've all opened right back up. Right back in business. By the grace of God, we are what we are. And I'm not just standing up here condemning these people. I'm praising God for the fact that we're not there, right there with them. We're just like Lot. Brands plucked from the burning. Verses 12 through 14. Men said unto Lot, of the angels, if you have any here besides your son-in-law and your sons and daughters, bring them out of this place. We will destroy this place. Now they knew who all Lot had, didn't they? But they were giving Lot an opportunity to witness to his loved one. That's exactly what they were doing. So Lot went out. Verse 14, Lot went out, spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters. If a man really believes in the judgment of God, he'll tell his loved ones, won't he? He'll tell them. And he said, up, get you out of this place. The Lord will destroy this city. But this is sad. Lot seemed as one that mocked under his sons-in-law. That's sad. Maybe he'd been silent too long. Maybe he hadn't said anything up to this point. That's bad. At least God gave him the grace to finally say something. But he seemed as one that mocked. Maybe they said to him, why haven't you said anything about this up until now? Oh, go on, Lot. You're just on one of your tangents. And maybe Lot had grown too careless and somewhat like the people of Sodom, and they said, me, you're no different than we are. It's sad. It's really sad. But I can enter right into this. Can you? Anybody here? Any Lots? I can. Maybe he went some places and did some things that they did without openly and totally corrupting himself. At any rate, he was now convicted, thank God, and he warned his family. He warned his family. And I couldn't help but think, if he'd only stayed with Abraham all this time, and his children, and his sons-in-law, and his family, they'd all been in better shape, wouldn't they? They'd all been in better shape. Well, verse 15. When the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, hurried Lot. When the morning arose, when the sun of righteousness, that is, when the sun came up, and the scripture says, when the sun of righteousness arises with healing in his wings, you shall go forth. That's exactly what Malachi 4:2 said. And unto those that fear his name shall the Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth. It says, when the morning arose, the angels hurried Lot. And when God really brings the gospel to somebody, he hurries them. Today becomes the day of salvation. I've got to have Christ now. I've got to flee to Christ. And he said, the angel said, arise, take your wife, your two daughters that are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Get out. Flee for your life. And while he lingered. Oh, I love this verse. This is my favorite verse in the whole chapter. While Lot lingered, lingering Lot, maybe he hesitated because he had much good, you know. He did. He was a family man. He had all these things to consider. But he hesitated. Our Lord said that about some people. He said, let me first go bury my father. Let me go first see to my land. I have a wife and a family. The Lord said, follow me. Now, well, here's salvation. Here is salvation. Verse 16. And while he lingered, the men laid hold on his hand. But Lot was going, wait just a minute. And they grabbed his hand and said, no waiting. Come on. You're coming with us. They laid hold on him, his hand, and the hand of his wife. Oh, Lord, do that. The hand of our wives and husbands, on the hand of his two daughters, our children, the Lord being merciful. They should have said, Nancy, they should have said right then and there, said, all right, we warned you. Just stay there then, shouldn't it? No. Lord's, His mercy endures forever. It was the Lord's mercies that Lot wasn't consumed in the beginning. His mercies were new every morning to Lot. It was of the Lord's mercies that He came with the message of judgment and of His salvation. It was the Lord's mercies He laid hold on. Salvation's of the Lord. The Lord, it says, He brought him forth. Look at it. The Lord being merciful unto him and brought him forth and set him without the city. And Hebrews said, let us go forth unto him, unto Christ, without the camp. Without the camp. And the only way we're going to do that is if the Lord lays hold on us. There's another title. Terry, just title it whatever you want to. Lord laid hold on Lot. That'd be a good one. Lord God lays hold on lingering lots. I thank God. Christ said, what man is there among you who shall have one sheep, if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not lay hold and pull it out? And all we like sheep, we did. It's not just that Christ in the beginning, you know, that in the beginning he dug us out of the pit and brought us back, and now everything's, we go right back. Don't we? All we like sheep keep going astray. Once a sheep, always a sheep. Once laid hold on, continue to lay hold on. Come on now. Get back out of there. Huh? That's it. That's salvation. Kept by His power. Laying hold on us. That's what the great shepherd does. Leaves the 99 for one lost sheep. One black sheep lays hold on him and lifts him or her out. And salvation is for Christ to lay hold on us, lay claim to us, and as Paul said, to be apprehended of Jesus Christ. In verse 17, and it came to pass when they brought them forth abroad, the angels brought his family out, that the angel said, escape for thy life. Escape for thy life. Don't look back. Look not behind thee. Look not back to your past. Look to Christ. And every time the gospel is preached, it's like Noah when he was building the ark. We say, escape. Flee the wrath to come. Escape. Escape to the mountains. What mountains? Mount Calvary. Mount Zion. Escape to the mountains. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, leads and guides us into all truth every step to take. The path of righteousness shows us from the Word where we're to go and what we're to do. Yet, listen to Lot, verse 18. After so much plain instruction, Lot said, oh, no, no, Lord, don't make me go to the mountains. Don't make me go there. I've got a place in mind. This would be a good little place to raise my family. Oh, Lot. Ain't no gospel down Zoar. Abram's up in the mountains. That's where the blessings are. English is getting bad. Lot, verse 19. Oh, the Lord sure is long-suffering, isn't He? That's salvation. Salvation of the Lord is His long-suffering. Behold now. Lot says, thy servant has found grace in us. I know that. It's obvious. You've magnified your mercy. You've been so merciful to me all the days of my life. When you showed unto me and saving my life, I just can't go there. Something bad will happen to me. Oh, my. Now, this was a man talking, ladies. This was a man. Spiritual leader. Something bad will happen to me. I'll die.
Isn't that us? Huh?
The Lord miraculously saves us, preserves us, keeps us. I keep thinking on you old folks like Charles and Violet and some of you, and I'd say, how long has the Lord been merciful? How long has He kept you? How long has He provided for you? But Violet, you're going to worry about something tomorrow. Tonight! You, before you leave here, you'll be worried about something. Won't you? Huh? Shake your head for everybody's sake. They know we're all just like that. We're just like Lot. Thank God the Lord's just like He is. Ever merciful. Ever merciful. The Lord was merciful. Okay, Lot. Okay. Verse 20. Lot said, "Dear, here's the city. Let me go there. It's just a little one. Here's a small town. Let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? My soul shall live." Well, you'll live, Lot, but it won't be very prosperous. You won't live life more abundantly. You live because I live, Lot. But you'll be in a bad way like you have been up to this point. And he said unto him, the Lord said, "I have accepted you. I have accepted you concerning this thing also." You know, everything about us is accepted. And it's of the Lord. I've been quoting that. So the Lord's mercies were not consumed. And every sin we sin is against the Lord. We're sin. It's against the Lord. Even though we're God's people, we sin against the Lord. And it deserves wrath and punishment. But because of Christ, we're going to see that on down here. Because of Christ, we're accepted. And the Lord allows us to do things like this, yet not to our destruction. Thank God. Not to our total destruction. We learn lessons, but boy, they're difficult ones. Verse 22. Go on, escape thither. I can't do anything till you come out of this city. Boy, I like that, don't you? The Lord is not going to destroy this planet till every one of His elect are brought to Christ. He says, I can't. That's the Lord's covenant in it. I cannot destroy this earth because I've made a covenant, I've made a promise, I've made a vow to save all of the elect, that all the ones that Christ my Son died for. Therefore, I'm not going to destroy this earth. I'm going to send pestilence and all this, but I'm not going to totally destroy it yet. And that's the reason we don't need to worry about these. Stand when the Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door and say, "Aren't you worried about Oklahoma City?" No, I'm not. What Steve was telling me, but some came to his door and they said, "Aren't you worried about Oklahoma City?" No, this is Rocky Mount. "Aren't you worried about Oklahoma City?" Yeah, but terrorism is everywhere. Terrorism's next door. But like Lot, they're like these angels. And the Lord restrain us. You believe that? Thousands shall fall at thy side. 10,000 at thy right hand. It shall not come nigh thee. You believe that? If so, you believe the Lord, if you rejoice in the Lord, you do. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, so I should not worry. Right? Right. Now, y'all remind me of that tomorrow. Violet, call me up when I start worrying. And say, "You say it." Well, where am I? Verse 22. So he went to Zoar, and there wasn't anything there. Verse 23. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Ah, boy, Christ arose and sat at the right hand of God when I entered this world. He ever lived. Verse 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire. Verse 25, He overthrew the cities and all the plain. And here's a complete message. Verse 26, His wife looked back. She had her heart in Sodom. She didn't know the same Lord that Lot knew. She didn't have the same desires as Lot. I think she was from Sodom. I think that's where he found his wife. And she had her heart there. And she looked back and became a pillar of salt, like the Lord said. And Abraham, verse 25, Abraham now got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. Where was Abraham all this time? That all this was going on with Lot, while he's been saved. Right there at the place where he stood before the Lord, at the altar. You see? Where's Christ? All this time, all my life, where's Christ been? That's what, you know, you remember that somebody, when my brother was killed, called or wrote my father and said to him, where was your God when your son died? About like what they said David, wasn't it? Where was your God when your son died? And he said, same place he was when his died, on the throne. Purposing it. Please the Lord to kill him. Please the Lord. Well, Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. That's a picture of Christ. Looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah. The smoke of the country went up. Verse 29, it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain. Now here's the moral of the story. Here's the whole gospel in one line, isn't it? God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out. Oh, I love that. I just love that. That needs no commentary, does it? Ah, boy. All right, let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that saves the likes of Lot. Ah, Lord, we thank you that your mercy endures forever and anew every morning, and that you remember your covenant, ever faithful, mindful of your covenant and mercy. What a blessed, blessed thing. Promises of God. We stand upon these promises, these firm promises. The covenant you made with your Son concerning the likes of Lot, sinners as we are. Since you remembered Christ, then you took us out, saved us. Thank you, Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ, coming, living, dying, and now ever living, to intercede for us. Lord, may we learn lessons from this man's miserable life. May we learn lessons, our own lessons from this, and may we seek thy will and thy way and walk in it. In Christ's name we pray and met together tonight. Amen. You're dismissed.